Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Out of My Mind podcast. This is Keith Crosby, your host, and this is a podcast where we look at the world around us through the lens of a biblical worldview, that is, the lens of Scripture. And today we are talking about, of all things, teens and dating. Now, there were two topics we could have tackled. That would be teens and driving and teens and dating, but there are some things even I can't help with. So let's talk about teens and dating, shall we? A nearby church in the last 12 months had three, shall we say, unplanned teen pregnancies. Why did that happen? I think that this has something to do with the culture's view toward male-female relationships and dating, and something to do with what we call teen dating in the West. Teens and dating. So let's talk about teens and dating. There are some who suggest that these topics are as natural a fit like peanut butter and jelly. Let me also add that there's a third ingredient which we should consider. What makes a peanut butter and jelly sandwich a peanut butter and jelly sandwich? That's bread, the third ingredient. Unfortunately, the third ingredient in teen dating often, even among so-called Christian children, is or are raging hormones. And this complement isn't as beneficial as bread is to a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. Often it's catastrophic. Why is this? I think it's fair to say it's a question of self-control, of maturity, of a biblical perspective, and synthesizing all this, which young people at a certain age are less capable of doing, and so they make unwise decisions, often decisions of great consequence. As a pastor of two young grown women, I'm often asked, how did you do it? Humanly speaking, my girls turned out well. They married godly young men. Both couples as families are serving in their local church and bearing witness to Christ. And so I'm asked, what guidelines did you lay down for dating? Really, it went beyond that. What guidelines did we lay down for their lives? As parents, we tried to raise them up in the way that they should go, so when they are old, they would not part from it, like it says in Proverbs. We didn't want to exasperate our children, as we were warned in Ephesians 6. We took every teachable moment available to us, as it talks about in Deuteronomy 6, and we did our best to model that behavior, sort of with the frontlets on our foreheads and the phylacteries tied around our wrists, reminding us and them that we love God. Metaphorically speaking, the word of God was on our doorpost. Ours was a Christian home in every sense that we could make it. Following the Deuteronomy 6 model from sun up to sundown, you might say, we tried to make every opportunity a teachable experience, a learnable experience, whether we messed up or not. Christianity for us was not a part-time thing. It was a full-time consuming thing. God is a consuming fire, as we are told, and he is worthy of our worship, and everything that we say, think, and do is worship. And that's the way we lived our lives with our children. Again, we weren't perfect, not by a long shot. So where does dating factor into this? Well, biblically, there is no category for dating as we know it today. The Bible has no category. Think about that. Why would that be? Now, obviously, our culture does. Many cultures do. And they have different approaches. There is a Polynesian culture that basically, before your daughter could be betrothed or engaged to somebody, she had to produce at least one child to show that she could provide children for the family. So obviously, we don't look to culture, right? But in that part of the world, conventional wisdom says you've got to have a family to survive. Conventional wisdom in a fallen world is almost always wrong. And now, I'm not trying to be crass or glib, but think of the conventional wisdom, the axioms we often hear. You have to test drive a car before you buy it, right? Young people need to gain experience, and dating is one of the ways that they do that. To that, I say, really? Do you want young people with no experience learning from other young people with no experience? Would that be the way that you would choose driving instructors? No experience, so that your children can gain experience from people with no experience? So you have to really think about the thinking behind dating. What's the harm? Kids need to experience life and love. Says who? If you look at some of the acts of violence in the school systems these days, it's broken hearts and unrequited love and boys breaking up with girls and girls breaking up with boys and terrible things happen. Why? Because the young people are not equipped to wrestle through this on their own. And yes, certainly in many of these cases, the young people are unsaved, but the lack of experience, the lack of emotional maturity and stability is present in all young people. Technically or medically, you might say, scientifically, their frontal cortex has not developed. That's the part that regulates impulse and that works with reason to dial back emotions and to make better decisions. It's just not there. And so that's where unwanted pregnancies come from. That's where men and women lose their virginity and they're haunted with that decision for life more often than not. And so you really don't want to trust conventional wisdom. Everybody's got to sow a few wild oats or seeds, right? So where is this all heading? My diatribe here. It sounds like I'm preaching a sermon, and I guess in a way that I am. Let's get back to dating. What is dating? What is the goal of dating? Perhaps kids need to have fun, but let them develop friendships. Let them develop platonic relationships. Let them observe each other from afar and assess character over time before emotionally investing in another child. To that end, I recommend that your children hang out in herds where they're not by themselves with any individual boy or girl, depending on their own sex. Because a 14-year-old or a 17-year-old, even a 20-year-old, has not developed the emotional maturity and stability, much less the spiritual maturity and stability on their own to handle all these challenges, all these pressures, all these temptations. Their brain is not equipped and in no way is prepared to handle or manage the impulses that they are often faced with. Let me return to my earlier question. So dating, what is the purpose of dating? Why do you want your young people to date? Why do you want your teenager to date? Because everybody else is doing it? Johnny's parents let him date. If Johnny's parents stuck their head in the oven, would you? That's the old ancient rebuke my mother used to give me. If Johnny stuck his head in the oven, would you? Well, if Johnny's parents let Johnny date, would you let your children date just because of that? Why? Really, why? I've heard well-meaning parents say, well, I don't want my child to be different. I don't want them to be an outcast. Think about what you just said. I don't want my child to be different. I don't want my child to be an outcast. All right, so then why introduce them to Christianity? Because Christianity is going to take them in the opposite direction of the culture. And if they do embrace Christ, they are going to be a bit of an outcast. They are going to be different. That's what Christ has called them and you and I to be. Spoiler alert, I'm not opposed to dating. I'm not one of those quote-unquote courtship guys or a caricature of that. Courtship is often misrepresented. I prefer to talk about intentional, purposeful dating. Dating for good reasons. Good reasons like what? Like finding a young man or a young woman of character for a son or daughter. Of getting to know someone, someone in the faith, there is no room for so-called missionary dating, to get to know someone in order to determine whether that person could be a lifelong partner in marriage. Which brings us back to what dating is again, and my point is the purpose of dating is to get married. Sure, our culture has lost its point, has lost this idea, even Christian culture to some extent, where you see young people going steady and dating in high school and things like that. And parents say, hey, I don't want to be too strict. I might push them away. You might push them away, or you might let them fall into the arms of another person they're going to get pregnant or who's going to wind up pregnant. We really need to think about this. You need to think about dating and its purpose. If they will sneak around to date someone, then you know there's a larger issue already. You're not pushing them away. And after all, if they live in your home, you pay the bills. It's your home. You're not their friend. You're not their peer. You're their parent. And they live by your rules, which is how I did with my girls, how Terry and I did with our girls. Children, obey your parents, for this is right. And as long as you're under our roof, what we say goes. Now, one parent or two has made the excuse, well, they're paying rent. that doesn't mean anything. They should share in the expenses if they're able to. Paying rent doesn't give them any additional rights. If they're living under your roof and they're 30 years old, they live by your rules. This age thing isn't an excuse either. So if they're going to date, they're going to date in order to look for a spouse. Now, of course, they may have platonic relationships, but they usually won't be alone with that person to either compromise their integrity or to compromise their reputation or the reputation of the other person, as they all, as Christians, bear witness to Christ. But we're getting a little off track here. I don't want to get into the age thing. We're talking about dating. Dating is for the purpose of finding a mate. So what did I do? What was my system? What was our system? Number one, you cannot date an unbeliever, period. If I haven't heard their testimony, you don't go out with them, period. No negotiation. And if their testimony is questionable, then one must assume they're not yet ready. If they cannot articulate the gospel, if they are not active or involved in their local church, if they're not attending a local church, if their parents are not attending a local church, then that's probably not the right person. Probably. Beyond that, they needed to have a plan. So what's your plan? What are your goals? When do you graduate? What are your aspirations career-wise? Don't have a career path? Get back to me when you do. And what's your plan B if your plan A doesn't work out? There needs to be a fallback position because you're going to have to provide for my daughter. Backup plans were an absolute necessity. So to summarize, no Jesus, no date. No job, no date. Once you cleared those hurdles, there was sort of a get-to-know-you phase. We expected you to hang out with the family, to spend time with the family, to come to church with us from time to time if you weren't engaged in ministry in your local church. And we expected you to honor and respect house rules. You had to be willing to play by our rules because that would show responsibility in a life where you always play by somebody else's rules in submission to the authorities that God has ordained over you. And since this girl is under my authority and not yours, if you want to go out with her, you're going to have to play by our rules. Let me just stop here and caution you. Don't think that I was quite this blunt, but I was pretty close to this blunt. People had to understand what the rules of engagement, no pun intended, were. American dating, Western dating, as the culture knows it, was not in the picture at all. And my girls were thankful because a lot of times they were placed in awkward positions where a guy might ask them out and they'd have to refer them to us, to me. You see, dating with purpose clarifies things. And when you think about it today, this doesn't sound so odd. When you think about it, 67% of all marriages in the world today are arranged marriages, and they have a higher success rate than Western marriages. And so I'm not proposing an arranged marriage. I'm just proposing dating with purpose, dating with intentionality, dating with intelligence, dating with purpose. And the alternative? Well, just look at the world around you and its success rate or failure rate, and consider the safety and well-being of your children. Now, some may be saying, "Woo, that's really strict. You're really conservative." Maybe, maybe not. We tried to be flexible. Sometimes we were too flexible. Sometimes we weren't flexible enough. But this was the game plan. And the results, by God's grace, the results speak for themselves. As I wrap up this discussion, let me just say this. This isn't this kind of let's kiss dating goodbye business that Josh Harris did 100 years ago. This is just intelligent, biblical, intentional dating for the glory of God, for the good of others, and our own growth. Maybe you have a better alternative, maybe not. This is the direction we pursued, and by God's grace, as I said earlier, the results speak for themselves. Choices have consequences, and when it comes to our sons and daughters and dating, particularly with teens, we must choose wisely. Well, that's it for today. Thank you for listening. I hope this was helpful in some way. Please like us on whatever podcast platform you find us. Give us a nice rating. Refer us to friends. Repost this on social media. We need your help. This is Keith Crosby signing off saying, God bless you and God keep you. Thank you.